Well, hello out there. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, and also the host of Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Goodness sakes, it is February, my friends, a second month of 2021, which some people, including myself, designate as 2020 Part 2, because it seems like a lot of the crazy stuff that we had in 2020 is only continuing, and if anything at all, maybe even more pronounced. But whatever the case may be with the world that we live in and this great country, this radio station continues to soar. In the morning, we have Scott Spears, interviewer to the stars, speaking with world-known celebrities, local politicians, and local interesting people, and of course, taking your calls. Sometimes he plays Family Feud, talks trivia with people like yourself, talks about the world that we live in, his own experiences, and like with any program on this station, always a surprise or two, especially when I take the airwaves. You never quite know what Adam, that is myself, is going to do. I may have an interesting guest like we had at the end of last month. I might talk about some controversial topics, tell a little story about a life experience, or just do some technology news and quirky or interesting stories from the world around us. If you do like quirky news, I have a show that you should listen to, which focuses on it. Nate Redmond, between about 4:15 and 5 p.m. every Wednesday, has interesting news stories from the area and the world that we live in. He gives away great prizes and shoots the breeze with listeners like yourself. So be sure to catch that program Monday and Tuesday afternoon. We have Linda Sims, a longtime broadcaster and a member of this radio station air staff. About 5:15 to 6 on Monday, right after Linda, we have Mike Wilson, who is a walking encyclopedia of mid-Ohio, especially the great Mount Gilead and Morrow County area. New program with Terry Tackett about sports commentary. Good program. When it comes to sports talk, you know, always a little bit of controversy. And, of course, Glenn Coble is with you most Wednesdays and Thursdays for a program that they call On the Air. I call it Scott and or Glenn at 10, because Scott Spears usually joins him, especially on Wednesday. Plus, he's here on Wednesday at approximately 15 minutes after 12, and usually with our resident presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, to talk about politics from a left-leaning viewpoint. Don't want to miss that fine program. We have so much going on here on WWGH Radio. There's really no reason to listen to anything else. Your ears and your brain cells will thank you, and I can assure you of that, my good friends. If you ever miss a program on this station, you can go to our website, and you know the website is programmed, curated, and maintained by yours truly. The website is WWGH1071.com. You can listen to literally thousands and thousands of programs that we've aired for the last 5+ years since I joined the station. Can you believe that? It's been 5+ years. Time certainly flies, and looking forward to 5 more great years. Learn about hosts, myself, Scott, etc. We have blogs, we have some photos, and of course, some surprises. What would anything associated with this radio station be if there were not a surprise or two? Again, my name is Adam Lepp here for a program that we call Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam and or at the Adam the Computer Guy radio program. If you would like to be a guest on one of my shows, that would be splendid indeed. Just send me an email. And, you know, just like Hillary and Melania, we have a private email server, which is also maintained, programmed, and curated by yourself, by myself. Well, not by you, but by me. That's part of the fun of live radio. If you make a mistake, you have a slip of the tongue, you can always make fun of yourself, because you really shouldn't take yourself too seriously, and goodness sakes, I don't. Anywho, my email. If you'd like to be a guest on the program, provide some commentary, you don't have to agree with me. You can come on the air and say that I'm completely crazy. That's fine. Or you can tell me how wonderful I am. That's fine, too. Or maybe a little of both. Adam at WWGH1071.com. If you know a little bit about me, you know that I'm into physical fitness, especially with the events of the last year. It is imperative, folks, and this isn't a joke, to stay healthy. Staying healthy reduces the chance that you will catch one of the communicable diseases that is currently in the forefront. You'll certainly feel better. You'll look better. You will be in a better mindset. And I believe exercising the body also helps the brain. Physical fitness, mental fitness, as far as I'm concerned, they go hand in hand. Take a walk, take up bicycle riding, buy a treadmill or stationary bicycle, because it is a bit cold outside. Not really bike riding weather, but certainly winter walking when it's not too slippery outside. That's a fun thing, which I enjoy doing. Or, of course, join a fitness facility. In fact, I'm a member of two fitness facilities. Plus, I have fitness stuff at the house. So, you know, when I'm bored and I'm out of work, which does happen from time to time, I do enjoy some exercising, and we encourage you to do that. And one thing about living in 2021, my friends, is that when you exercise, you can get a fitness tracking gadget, a Fitbit. That's a device that's quite popular, which we've talked about many times. The Pebble was another device that people have used. And there are fitness tracking apps from Google and other places. Now, here's something, which I think would be an incentive to be fit to exercise. I don't know how they could really give you a better incentive than this. And of course, that is by taking the almighty dollar and making that enter the equation. If you need a push, because maybe you aren't quite as obsessed with exercise and fitness as I am, and that's okay. Even I sometimes need to be encouraged. We go through good and down and up times in our life, in our day. But I always put the need to be physically fit and to exercise as a top priority. Because without fitness, what are you? Well, don't want to be a couch potato, but certainly you are a person, I think, who is in lower spirits. And as I said, it does affect your mind and my job and my businesses and my work here at the station. The brain has to be as fit as other body parts. Well, there is something called the CrowdFit Wellness App. And that's spelled K-R-O-W-F-I-T. So what they do is they pay you in cold hard cash to put your fitness tracking devices on. Again, a Fitbit or whatever your device that you prefer. And what kind of an incentive could be better than that? Actually paying you to be fit, use fitness systems at the gym or at your house or what have you, and they pay you some greenbacks. Getting more physically active is obviously the aim with the CrowdFit, K-R-O-W-F-I-T. And you don't need equipment. You don't need to buy a stretch outfit or a locker room to improve your fitness. Variety and activity are the keys to your improved fitness success. Just stick your smartphone in your pocket and go for a walk, a run, or climb some stairs. It can be that easy. Sounds kind of too good to be true, doesn't it? Don't even need to buy a fitness device or go to a gym. Just go about your regular business. Climb stairs, take a walk, all that good stuff. The CrowdFit Wellness app is part of a beta, meaning a test, wellness incentive platform that rewards members with cash rewards for tracking sleep, mindfulness, walking, food logging, and physical activity, even eating. How can you beat that? It's sort of like pays you to eat. Well, let's learn more about this. Testing results so far, according to CrowdFit, again, this new app, K-R-O-W-F-I-T, show significant improvement in users' overall health and fitness commitments. Now, CrowdFit began developing its Fitness for Cash program with enterprise-based membership. Now, as of November of last year, the fitness program is open to consumers as well as enterprise members. So how does this work? Paying you just to let your smartphone track what you're doing, be it at the gym or be it at the house or taking a walk somewhere or exercising with a friend or family member. CrowdFit connects to the fitness trackers that you already own, again, like the Fitbit, or health kits that you already have on your smartphone. Isn't this technology wonderful? It syncs your daily health and wellness activities for an innovative and motivating way to earn cash and build long-term sustainable healthy habits. Each time users log an activity, they automatically earn an entry into CrowdFit's weekly, monthly, and quarterly cash giveaways. Now, these amounts vary up to $5,000 or more for each award, depending on the available cash pool. Over the past several years, the company has paid out more than $2 million in cash rewards. Look at that. You get entered into a cash drawing to win some greenbacks just for staying fit. I certainly have no objection to that. And that claim comes from Jim Miller, the CEO and founder of CrowdFit. The CrowdFit Wellness Incentive Program and Behavior Modification Methodology Platform are founded on research and proven science by the Journal of the American Medical Association and the Mayo Clinic, according to the company. CrowdFit reinforces and rewards small, achievable goals that lead to long-term behavioral change. If you haven't heard of us, we are the largest cashback wellness incentive program in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that comes from Jim Miller, founder and CEO of CrowdFit. CrowdFit is the only cashback wellness incentive program in the United States and Canada. Other fitness platforms focus strictly on granting prize money for weight loss. CrowdFit makes its payouts every Monday. Research has shown that monetary incentives enhance the effectiveness of attaining fitness and wellness goals of all sorts, especially when tied to a social network. And that, again, comes from Jim Miller, the founder and CEO of CrowdFit. And I would agree. You know, put your money where your mouth is. And what better incentive is there than good, cold, hard cash-a-rooney? He said research has shown that monetary incentives enhance the effectiveness of attaining fitness and wellness goals of all sorts, especially when tied to a social network. There is no silver bullet. Change occurs over time, step by step, which is why we are committed to rewarding our members for the effort they make to consistently engage in healthy activities, regardless of how much they weigh or how fit they are. And again, from Jim Miller, CrowdFit's CEO and founder. So based on the current testing results, the method works. And I would think, you know, give people an incentive, a monetary incentive to stay fit. How could you turn that one down? You win both ways. You might make some money and you'll be in better health, which, again, in my opinion, makes you do better in everything. Not to mention live longer, resistance to disease, and you'll feel better, feel more refreshed. You'll be a happier person. Anyway, CrowdFit members are seeing results as 62% of active members report walking and moving more. 67% report improved eating and sleeping habits and 53% weight loss. Very good. Again, it's a win-win situation. If you don't mind the app kind of tracking and spying on you, I guess that's kind of that's the catch. But, you know, the phone, your phone, the government, everyone's spying on you. So what the hey? The average CrowdFit member engages in 35% more physical activity, 23% more sleep, takes 30% more steps, tracks 33% more meals, and wins $450 a year. That's not chump change, according to CrowdFit. Through operant conditioning, I'm not even sure what that is, but that's what they say they do, CrowdFit reinforces and rewards small, achievable goals that lead to long-term behavioral change. The process includes the latest wearable devices, smartphones, and popular diet, fitness, sleep, and mindfulness apps. So CrowdFit members' sleep, steps, mindfulness, and fitness activities are automatically logged into the CrowdFit app. Each time an activity is logged, members automatically earn an entry into one of five different cash giveaways. Again, this is an app you can download for your phone. CrowdFit, K-R-O-W-F-I-T, works in conjunction with fitness and activity tracking on your phone, as well as a device like a Fitbit, which interacts with the whole shebang. Jim Miller, again, the president, CEO, I guess he's probably the president also, the CEO and founder of CrowdFit, says an ever-increasing number of Americans already have a smartphone, as well as a wearable device or a fitness app of some sort. So again, why not monetize that? I'm all for that, my friends. Why not connect them to CrowdFit for free and be rewarded for the effort you make to eat, sleep, walk, and meditate? It really is that simple. As I'm kind of wondering, where does this money come from? But I think we'll cover that later in the story. So anyway, CrowdFit is a milestone-driven, cash-incentivized wellness reward program. It works because it rewards the effort, not the results, of living a healthy, active lifestyle. According to, again, Jim Miller. That's a nice common name, isn't it? Sometimes we do these stories. These people have interesting names. This guy's got a very plain-sounding name, Jim Miller, but that's it. And again, he's the CEO and founder of CrowdFit. The goal is to empower registered members with meaningful, unlimited cash rewards for consistently engaging in and modeling a healthy, active lifestyle. With each activity entry logged on, CrowdFit members become eligible for one of five cash giveaways. Winners are randomly selected, and rewards are not based on activity results or performance. So check out these payouts. Again, a giveaway that you're entered into when you use this app CrowdFit in conjunction with your smartphone and a fitness tracker device. A $600 bi-monthly mindfulness cash giveaway. Six winners are selected twice a month to split a $300 cash prize at $50 each. $1,500 weekly meal logging cash giveaway. A $2,000 monthly sleep cash giveaway, being paid to sleep. Eight members are selected monthly to split a $2,000 cash prize at $250 each. They can earn up to three entries per day for 8 hours of sleep. Being paid to sleep, how could you possibly object to something like that? My goodness sakes. And a $20,000 quarterly physical activity giveaway. Four winners split $5,000 each, $20,000 total. How do you get that? Well, you get one entry for 30 minutes of activity or a maximum of four entries per day. So is that too good to be true? What's the catch, boys and girls? Well, let's get to that. Let's get to that because there always is some kind of fine print. CrowdFit's motto is, you sweat, we pay. I like that. It is a legitimate description of what the company does. Now, there are other similar systems, as you've probably heard about, but this one is different. One, it presents a unified app experience with the process of earning cash for the active lifestyle that you have, or should be, already living. It uses the tracking devices and smartphones that you already own, for the most part. Lastly, these rewards arrive regularly with no limit on members' winnings, according to CrowdFit. The rewards pool comes from corporate support and premium membership fees. See, there had to be a fee, but it really isn't too bad. Plus, again, not only can you earn money, this helps to track your fitness and keeps you motivated. The fee's only $1.99 a month. I mean, you can't get a cup of coffee at Starbucks for that price, or per year, $17.99. I could live with that. Otherwise, CrowdFit is free to use. CrowdFit generates revenues from employers, health plans, HSA providers, health savings accounts, population health platforms, and individual subscribers. CrowdFit users can choose to subscribe. This gives members the ability to level up and receive the automatic bonus amped entries to maximize their chances of winning. So you don't have to pay anything, but if you pay this modest fee, not even $18 a year, better chance of winning. I mean, this sounds like a pretty good idea. And you know what? I think I might try it. I don't always try these little gimmicks, but this, I think, is one that is very well worth my time. So if I do, I'll let you know, and I will certainly report my success or lack of success on a future show. The money pool increases as new members join, allowing CrowdFit to pay out more people each week. There's no limit to how much cash members can win. The only limitation on member winnings is the same member cannot win the same award in back-to-back periods. So you go to the website, fill in the registration information. I went ahead and did that before I decided to talk about this. And again, if I do pursue this, I will certainly let you know, as I'm as curious as you are. Registration form has your name, email address, date of birth, and all that good stuff. You can have two options for engaging with the platform's record keeping. You can download a traditional app to your Android or iOS phone or use a progressive web app known as a PWA through your phone's web browser. Then the login screen to your tracker count appears. You log in, let CrowdFit access your fitness records. Then you download the CrowdFit Connector app for your smartphone, let your phone collect your activity data from your phone. That's pretty simple. So talking here about CrowdFit, which can potentially pay you possibly hundreds or more per year for tracking your fitness, your sleep, things you do in your daily routine. And I think monetizing the act of staying fit and even just doing what you do throughout the day, including eating and sleeping, that is a pretty good incentive to consistent health and staying healthy, staying happy, especially with the current situation of the world. So, goodness sakes, can't beat that, can we? Here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program and mid-morning coffee break with Adam, we talk about that stuff. Interesting things going on in the world around us, and like with any program that I do at least, there will certainly be some commentary and a wisecracker too. Actually, in my case, wisecracker three or four, because, you know, the more wisecracks, the better. Laughter is the best medicine, especially with the current state of the world. You may have heard of DuckDuckGo. Quack, quack. Right, DuckDuckGo. Cute name. It's a search engine, which is an alternative to Google and Yahoo. People are concerned that when they go to Google, and they're right, as well as Bing and Yahoo, it is tracking what you're doing. And the world is finding a way to use your browsing history and just what you're searching for, what you're doing online, as a way to make other companies some greenbacks, as well as just spying on you, an invasion of your privacy. And people are using DuckDuckGo, a search engine which takes a different approach. It prioritizes privacy, makes things more anonymous, doesn't let the world kind of sneak and peek at what you're doing. And DuckDuckGo is certainly gaining popularity. Nothing will ever be as big as Google, but DuckDuckGo has a small and dedicated following, and I've used it myself, and it's a good system. Yeah, as I see it, you're not going to defeat the snoopers, you know, the cyber snoopers. The government is snooping on us, for goodness sakes, with the NSA. But sometimes you do value some privacy when it's just you and your computer there alone in the room. So people do use DuckDuckGo. I recommend it myself, but understand it isn't Google. Nothing will ever be that big, at least in the foreseeable future. DuckDuckGo did reach a significant milestone early in January. And what was the milestone? They racked up more than 100 million searches in a single day. But again, that's small potatoes compared to Google. But again, making progress, and it is a good program, a good website that I encourage you to try. According to their website, on January 11th, over 102 million searches were performed. DuckDuckGo is a 12-year-old company. For January, it is averaging 90 million searches a day, a 73% increase over the same period last year. Again, still a very small number compared to Google. You may ask, how many searches on the average does Google get? Well, more than 5 billion. So 5 billion, a lot more than 100 million. But again, DuckDuckGo is increasing its popularity, and I applaud them for that. Charles King, a IT expert, he's with Pundit, P-U-N-D-I-T. We quote him often. He's based in California, and he says, it's a significant milestone, especially since it surpassed Bing and Yahoo to get there. This is a solid sign of DuckDuckGo's vitality, but also reflects the decreasing influence of what were once dominant industry platforms. Liz Miller, she is with Constellation Research in Cupertino, California, same place that Apple is headquartered. So she'd know about this stuff, and her perspective is that there really hasn't been a significant competitor to lower players like Bing and Yahoo in the search engine game for quite some time. So watch out, Bing and Yahoo. DuckDuckGo is coming after you. And they have that philosophy of privacy. And I think at some time they will become the number two search engine. She said to cross the 100 million line is promising for DuckDuckGo. So DuckDuckGo is in sixth place in the search engine market worldwide. Less than 1% of the total number of searches, because there are a lot of searches, but the 100 million mark, not dollar, 100 million search mark is, I agree, big. It is number two in the mobile search market with a 2.25% share. So that's pretty good considering how big Google is. Yahoo just has 1.94% and Bing 1.13%. So DuckDuckGo about twice as big as Bing. How many people have heard of DuckDuckGo versus Bing? I think that's going to change as we see its usage increasing. Of course, Google, again, is far ahead of anybody else. That's no surprise to anybody. 94.48% share among mobile searches. Mobile website views surpassed traditional PC views in 2016, according to Charles King, again, an expert in this kind of stuff. The coming wave of next-generation 5G-enabled smartphones and other devices is likely to help mobile search grow significantly. Rob Enderle, another expert we quote, and he's in Bend, Oregon. He says people are living on their mobile devices a lot more than they used to. Having that kind of power in mobile is handy. The desktop segment is locked up. Mobile isn't so much, so there's more opportunity in mobile. 60% of searches are now conducted on mobile devices. Not really surprising. I don't expect to slow down anytime soon. Even in the pandemic, when you could argue that more folks were in a desktop environment, mobile searches still surged. And from Liz Miller, a Cupertino-based research and advisory person who knows a lot about searches. DuckDuckGo, she said, has tremendous opportunity here because of their multi-source search and user opt-in controls that give users the feeling of accuracy with control. Something else that is an issue with Google, you're kind of tied to what they want you to find. Regardless of what they tell you, they still kind of have the upper hand. And DuckDuckGo is more of a free enterprise search engine, so I agree. I think it's going to increase in popularity, and especially with mobile. And people will find that it's a good alternative, if not the predominant way, to look for stuff on the old internet. Number of factors are driving DuckDuckGo's growth, not the least of which is its emphasis on privacy. Greg Sterling, he is based in Berlin, Germany. He is with Uberall, a maker of location marketing solutions. He said DuckDuckGo has been growing steadily over time. Its increasing adoption is by people concerned about privacy. Yeah, what is Google doing with your data? I don't think I want to know. Let's just put it that way. DuckDuckGo, he said, is the most well-known of the privacy-friendly search engines and browsers. Consumers and businesses, according to Charles King, are becoming increasingly aware and tired of how their personal search data is being used for targeted online advertising. Goodness sakes, I know I am, but again, it's a fact of life. If you're going to surf the web and use a smartphone, these smart snoopers will be right at your back. And DuckDuckGo, although will not eliminate it altogether, will certainly make a huge headway in increasing your privacy and using the old MYOB, mind your own business, philosophy. So he said at the same time, DuckDuckGo has crafted a solid solution that makes private searching simple and effective. DuckDuckGo's emphasis on privacy doesn't mean it has forsaken the advertising business model. Again, how do they make money? Well, of course, selling ads. Even Mark Zuckerberg, when he was testifying with Congress, said that. That's how we make money. We sell ads. It's a free service, but, you know, it does come at a price. Anyway, the difference between DuckDuckGo and other search engines is its use of opt-in advertising controls. In the end of the day, they are and are transparent about being an ad-powered business. The key difference is that they put the controls of advertising-based results in the hands of users, according to Liz Miller, the expert in California. She said DuckDuckGo has embraced the notion that personalization and privacy can coexist in collecting less data that users define as relevant to what they want to receive. So people are enjoying the experience of control and are being rewarded with results they feel are accurate for them. DuckDuckGo's growth is also being fired by its image as a player not under the umbrella of big tech. Again, they're kind of the alternative, a little bit rebellious. She said DuckDuckGo has been lumped into this band of anti-big tech free speech solutions with a little privacy tucked in there, albeit with an accurate definition or understanding of privacy in the modern world. You know, a little rebellious. We may need a little more of that. Anyway, with headlines and breaking news pieces from politicized camps saying that big tech is out to get the average citizen in the United States, alternatives are being offered up as the cure, and DuckDuckGo is part of that offering. The search engine's recent growth was also fueled by seasonal factors and current events. DuckDuckGo VP of Communications, Camille Bazbaz, explained that the company generally sees a larger than normal uptick in searches and downloads around the new year as people try to clean up their digital tools and footprint around that time. Building market share will continue to be a challenging task for DuckDuckGo. Most people continue to use Google out of habit, and because they're tied into many other Google services like Gmail, Maps, News, YouTube, Android phone, and so forth. There's also a perception, which is partially justified, that Google is the best search engine available. People, again, reluctant to try something else, myself included. I mean, Google, to me, that's it. That's the yellow pages of the web. But even I need some arm twisting from time to time. It's unlikely that DuckDuckGo will ever be a serious challenger to Google, but they may be able to build a sustainable business. To do that, DuckDuckGo will need to grow and keep their customers happy. Dan Kennedy is a professor of journalism at Northeastern University in Boston, Massachusetts. He said, in order to cut down on tracking, I switched from Chrome to Firefox and then Google to DuckDuckGo. I wasn't concerned about privacy especially, but I was tired of looking up, say, a product a student had written about in order to check the spelling, and then seeing a constant stream of ads for that product for the next 6 months. Unfortunately, I don't think the results from DuckDuckGo were very good, and I find myself using Google frequently when I couldn't find what I was looking for. So after maybe a couple of months, I switched back to Google. I've stuck with Firefox, and that seems to have all but eliminated the tracking. You are listening to the Adam the Computer Guy radio program and mid-morning coffee break with Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Talked about DuckDuckGo, an alternative search engine that cares about your privacy, and CrowdFit, a way to get paid, possibly hundreds or even thousands of dollars a year for staying fit using fitness tracking, gadgetry, and apps. Anywho, I was visiting a good friend of mine in the great city of Marion early in January. We were going to go to a fitness facility, which he's a member of and has guest privileges. Now, you probably know from viewing my Facebook and kind of hearing me babble that I don't agree with the philosophies regarding the current world state of affairs and the COVID-19 virus. I don't dispute that it exists and that it's a serious problem, but the way that we can counter it and the way we can stay healthy and avoid getting the virus, or if we do become afflicted, to keep the symptoms at the moderate level, I don't agree with what a lot of others are saying. Some people do agree with me. Many people actually have an opinion more extreme than mine. I don't think mine is even that extreme. I think it's logical. I have a science background. I've done research in particle science, as I may have talked about from time to time, and understand more than a little bit about the mechanism of how the virus is spread and how to prevent it. Bottom line is, I am anti-mask. I make no bones about that, no apologies, and make the explanation again. My opinion is based upon my own scientific knowledge from school, knowledge that I've acquired on my own as I've been fascinated by science ever since I knew what science and scientists and labs and that kind of stuff were. Plus, I also know my own body. I know what diseases I tend to get and severity if I do happen to catch them. And I make those judgments and decide what I think is logical. I don't wear masks unless I absolutely have to. And in my case, my mask wearing is kept to a minimum. Also, on a mental level, I just find them extremely uncomfortable and having a major impact on my ability to communicate. Even if we have perfect hearing, all human beings read lips and face movements to an extent, and that includes if you're using you're reading someone else's face movements and lips, or someone is reading yours. And masks have a great impact on the ability to communicate, which is very sad. Someone in the radio business, an audio engineer, you know, combined with my scientific background and natural mindset, that's something which really saddens me. But again, if necessary to go to somewhere where masks are strictly enforced, I may go ahead and wear one, but be assured I'm not happy about it. When it comes to fitness facilities, the idea, and I make no bones about this, my friends, the idea that wearing a mask, even as you walk into a fitness facility, is one of the most idiotic things I've ever heard in my life. And I make no, I make no attempt to water that down, because I feel very strongly. Going to the store is one thing. Not that I agree with it, but it's different than walking into a fitness facility. Exactly how the governor's mandate affects the mask requirements at a fitness facility is very vague as I see it. And I've been to many fitness facilities since the mask mandate began, middle of last year, and it's enforced or not enforced in different ways. Now, here in Marion, we unfortunately just lost a fitness facility that I had been to previously through another radio station. We did a barter with them. Great place, Anytime Fitness. We've unfortunately have lost that location. And I blame it squarely on the governor and his overdramatization and these ridiculous mandates, scaring people when you should be encouraging people to be healthy. Not only is a gym a good place to go to socialize as a hobby, it, in my opinion, which I believe is a quasi-expert opinion, it will keep you healthier and keep you resistant to communicable diseases. And if you, again, do catch a disease, in this case, COVID, or the other diseases that are common, flu, the cold, etc., the symptoms will be minimal, maybe not even noticeable. Not to mention other benefits of exercise. You live longer. Your heart's healthier. I mean, there's millions of them. I can't go into them because I'd bore you and take up two more shows. And it's unfortunate that these mandates, this overdramatization, as in my opinion, caused this excellent Anytime Fitness location in Marion to close. And I made opinions about that on social media and, again, make no apology. So we do have Planet Fitness, a similar kind of facility. Planet Fitness has locations and just about everywhere. Many in Columbus, conveniently located one in Marion, pretty much anywhere in the Buckeye State if you're in a small city or place with higher population, you'll have multiple Planet Fitnesses. And there's no secret, based upon social media postings, that they very strictly enforce the mask mandate. This was known almost immediately after it came into play. They first required masks to be worn when you walk in, when you're exercising, and when you're moving between equipment or going to the bathroom or doing something inside the gym but not directly exercising. There was a lot of backlash on that. I made social media postings telling them what I thought, as did many other people. They did back off a bit, and they said that now you have to wear a mask only when you are not actively exercising. And again, not actively exercising, that's a very vague area as I see it. If you're walking, you're exercising. I mean, even walking between equipment, that's part of my routine because it helps you stretch, helps you stay fluid. And the thing about Planet Fitness is they do enforce that very strictly. And their definition of actively exercising is not the same as mine. So anyway, I mentioned I was visiting a friend of mine who goes there and has privileges. He has the high-level membership. We went there in early January, and he warned me that Planet Fitness doesn't feel the same way that I do about the mask wearing, and that their interpretation of when one must wear one in a fitness facility is not the same interpretation that I and others might use. So we walked in, the guy that checks you in, the attendant, told me to put a mask on, and I said, okay, I did, because I knew that you couldn't walk in there without wearing one. So we started walking around. I was deciding which equipment I was going to use first, and sure enough, he comes over, like it's the biggest issue in the world right now, and tells me I must wear a mask, even if I'm walking around, as long as I'm not actively exercising. And I told him again, if I'm walking around, I'm assessing the equipment, and I'm still stretching because that's exercise, because walking is exercise, but he would have no part of it. And after we had an exchange of words, I said, we're leaving. It was unfortunate because I was really looking forward to exercising with my friend who's also into fitness like I am, but I have my limitations. And so we departed. Now, this is a bit controversial, but I do not believe that wearing a mask is healthy when you are exercising, when you are exerting, when you're breathing more heavily. I don't believe wearing masks is healthy in general. I believe that although they have some benefit, I'm not denying that, the benefit is exaggerated and is overtaken by the potential health risks, the inconvenience, and for many people, the fact that they just can't stand wearing them, like myself. But in a fitness facility, it's completely inappropriate. Now, you could say that the way that Planet Fitness enforces the mandate is consistent with the way it's supposed to be. I don't believe that it is. Also with restaurants, the idea that you sit down and while you're eating, you can take the mask off, but some restaurants say while you're seated, some restaurants will say only actively eating or drinking. And again, actively eating or drinking is a questionable definition. Nobody just continually eats. It's not healthy to keep eating and not take a break. So you take a break for a few seconds, you put the mask back on, get your food particles on it, your germs on it, and then take it off to eat more. I say not. Kind of the same thing with exercise. So I wanted to share that. I try not to be too controversial on this show. Save that for social media, save that for emails. But I felt that relaying this little tidbit to you might be something that would be a viable topic for this program. Please email me. Let me know what you think. Would you like to be a guest on the show? Would you like to debate how you feel about these topics with yours truly? Love to hear from you, Adam at WWGH1071.com. I certainly do encourage you to exercise, whether you're more comfortable doing it at your house. I have no problem with that. Certainly, you can't beat the hours, you can't beat the music, you can't beat the dress code. But if you are thinking of a way to spend some extra dollars, join a fitness facility. However, unfortunately, I cannot give you any recommendations for one here in the great city of Marion. So you may want to search the internet, ask your friends, look at social media, etc. Also, be sure to visit our website, WWGH1071.com, to listen to archives of almost every show for the last 5+ years, but also find out about our other hosts. Mike Wilson, of course, the famous interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, the lovely Linda Sims, Pastor Steve Whitaker, and much, much more. As my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun, or at least when you're yapping a lot, which of course I do. And that means our time together has come to a conclusion. I thank you for listening. Again, please send me an email. Please visit our website. Comment on social media. Become a fan of our Facebook page. Search for WWGH 107.1. Our listenership grows daily, and it's because of listeners like yourself that that happens. I consider the station to be the best talk station in the whole world, and we're only getting better. So you wait and see. 2021 may have started out as a bit of a rough year for the world in general, but for this radio station, it is going to rock. Adam Lepp saying goodbye until we talk again here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. See you later, alligator. She told me, nearly made me lose my head. When I thought of what she told me, nearly made me lose my head. But the next time that I saw her, reminded her of what she said. See you later, alligator.
See ya!